bless your name. I bless your name. I give you all. Truth, the way. You are the light. The truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Amen, amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together once again. Praise the Lord. As you can see, we will be, it's the first Sunday night of the month, so we will be having the Lord's Supper and foot washing following the service here tonight. I'd like to start by just reading one verse of Scripture. For you're seated tonight from John the 15th chapter in the 9th verse. Now, we all have favorites. We all have things that maybe touch us in a certain way, mean something to us in a certain way. We love the whole Word of God, right? But there's something about the Gospel of John. It's a love letter. And John, was one of the younger disciples and laid his head on Jesus' bosom. And, you know, he even referred to himself as that disciple whom the Lord loved. So we know the Lord loved everyone, of course, right? But there was something, there was a bond, that, humanly speaking, that was between John and Jesus, and more than that, I'm sure. So in the book of St. John, we really see the heart of God. Not that we don't see it in other books, but, you know, it's a love letter. Amen. And I remember when this message got a hold of me that was a book that I spent a lot of time reading, and it was opening up to me that, hey, he's talking to me. This is me. Amen. Not just whosoever will. He's talking to me. St. John chapter 15 and verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come together this evening, Lord, it's with thanksgiving in our hearts once again. Praise on our lips. Love, Lord, from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. And Father, we pray that your blessings would once again be with us, that you would anoint your word, that you'd anoint our hearts, anoint our minds, Lord, to receive your word and to be vessels that your word could live through, that your word could be put on display through, that we could be vessels, Lord, that hearts could be touched through, that lives can be changed through, Lord. As we surrender ourselves to you from the pulpit to the back door, Father, we pray that you would search our hearts tonight, Lord, that if there be anything that is untoward, anything that we haven't made right, anything we haven't repented of, Lord, bring it to our remembrance, we pray, Lord, and we'll be sure to bring it before you and ask for your forgiveness and know with an assurance, Lord, that if we confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're committing our lives, everything that we have, Lord, we're committing it into your hands once again. We just thank you for this opportunity. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 The church says amen. You may be seated. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to we'll kind of fly through it, but I'd like to read this entire chapter it's not a long chapter, from the book of John, chapter 15. We'll start at the first verse. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So there's a cutting that takes place. And you're like, oh, well, that was just growing. And why does it have to get cut? So it can bring forth more fruit. He knows what he's doing. He's the true husbandman. Amen. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. So we abide in him, the life comes from him, and the fruit is produced from the life that comes from him, flows through us. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now this sounds, to the world, this sounds arrogant, this sounds kind of hard, but no, it's just the truth. Without him, you can do nothing. Just like the grapevine, without the branch that it's attached to, without that, it can do nothing. You cut it away, it can't do anything. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, this is not a legalistic keep his commandments. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, if you keep my word, if you honor my word, if my word is first and foremost in your life, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment. So he said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. And he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, this is not a suggestion. This is not, he doesn't say here, this is my suggestion to you. This is my commandment. And he said, if you keep my commandment, you shall abide in my love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Not, so it's a very particular kind of love. It's not just the love that you have for French fries or whatever. It's a very specific kind of love. He says, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Wait a minute. He just did. Was that a repeat? Was that an error? It is a repeat. That's how important it is. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So you should hate him back, right? Let's read on. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I have done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word here tonight. So as we prepare partake of the Lord's Supper here tonight, I just want to take a simple thought from the word for a few minutes for us to reflect on. I think it would be kind of timely since we're approaching the Lord's table here tonight. And that thought is, continue in my love. Continue in my love. Aren't you thankful for the love of God this evening? Aren't you thankful that you know the love of God? Aren't you thankful that he didn't leave you out there to fend for yourself? Aren't you thankful that you didn't have to come up with love, but he's the one that supplies the love? And you love him because he first loved you, right? Where would we be tonight without his love? It was his great love that caused him to send his sovereign grace in the form of Christ Jesus to die for our sins. His love is what caused him to send him. And we who were banished from the tree of life, we have been granted a way back to that life by his grace. How many can say amen to that? And God's great love actually projected to you makes you a part of him. Brother Branham says, in the new birth, you become a child which is born of, or is come out from, and that puts you in a relationship with God. You are now sons and daughters of God. You have come forth from God. You have become a partaker of the divine nature that was in Christ, the very same divine nature. And I love that. Not a nature that's like that, not a sort of maybe wink, wink, nod, nod, but the very same nature that was in Christ. And you are now a new and living creature in Christ Jesus, and all things have become new. And the church says, so that being the case, friends, you're not the same person that you once were. How many knows that you're not the same? You're changed, right? Your nature is changed. Not it's sort of, you know, we used to say that as Baptists, but, you know, when it came down to it on Monday morning, you'd find out whose nature was changed and who wasn't. Your nature is changed. Your appetites are changed. And instead of hatred and malice and bitterness, your heart is filled with love. It's getting quiet already. It's the truth, though, isn't it? And since that love abides in you, you don't look upon others as you once did. You can't look upon others as you once did. You can bear with one another. You can bear one another's burdens. And you are part of the solution now and not part of the problem. Amen. And your outlook has changed. And the power of love that is in you, that not only has changed your life, can now change the lives of others also. That's where they're going to come in contact with the love of God. Amen? In the message, when divine love is projected, Brother Branham says, then when you become a son or daughter of God, your disposition changes. Your disposition changes. Right? There was a period of time where we could say, well, that's just how I am. That's just how I'm made, right? Well, when you're born again of the Spirit, that's not how you are. Your disposition changes. Your attitude changes. Your all, your look towards life and towards others changes. It doesn't mean that you just join a church. It means that you have been regenerated or regened, right? You have become a new creature, creation in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away and God has spoken to you and you have become a new creature. I want this to go way down even into church members, he says. So he was preaching a message that this particular message, and he's it's an evangelistic message, and he's throwing out the net and he's pulling in. But he says, hey, I'm not just talking to those that haven't been caught in the net yet. I'm talking to church members. He says, then as you would love to be in the presence of Christ and you become a part of Christ, Well, then people love to become in your presence because you become a part of God, a son and daughter of God. Did you ever see people that you just love to be in their presence? Of course. There's just something about them that just radiates, that you just love to talk to them. And then there's other people who are nice people. He says, yet we don't say this unkindly, but you just can't hardly stay around them. Right? It's like a rain cloud. It's just, you know, how are you doing? Well, since you asked, where does the time go? But you just can't hardly stay around them. It's because of the atmosphere that you create. For you are a son of God. For you, as a son of God, are a miniature creator. Not you're going to be, you are. Because you are a part of God. And that's the reason you can believe the Bible for anything that it says. How many can say amen to that? You can believe the Bible for anything that it says, for the Word is God's Word, and you, being a part of God, will agree with the Word. So Jesus tells us, by their fruit you shall know them. And we know that where the Spirit of God is, there's love. Where the Spirit of God is, there's understanding. Where the Spirit of God is, there's something that you like to be around. Amen? And how sad it is, friends, for so many that live in this hour that you and I live in to not have met this yet. To have just been church members, right? Millions upon millions upon millions. There are churches, there are doctrines, there are many, many fine organizations, but how many have truly come to know this love that comes only through meeting and receiving the true Christ of the Bible? Not another Christ, not another Jesus that somebody else is preaching, but the true Christ of the Bible. Those that have truly met Him, they can walk into a home that's full of chaos. They can walk into it could even be their own home, and there's this one's upset, that one's upset, this one's impatient, that one's tired, this one's hungry, that one's wore out, and the nerves are raw, but they can walk into that kind of an atmosphere, and they can change that atmosphere. And they can bring peace where there was just turmoil and chaos present just a little while ago. The divine love that's down in the heart of a Christian can create a different atmosphere so that fellowship is restored once again in the home. Love projects. Love is not something that just stays hidden. If love is there, it's the most powerful force in the universe. There's nothing more powerful than love. And if love is resident, it will project. And then sovereign grace will come in and bring peace where there was chaos. Continue in my love, Jesus said. Continue in my love. So we know that the love of God in the heart of a believer, it produces a softness in the spirit, right? It produces tenderheartedness. It produces gentleness, meekness, sweetness, geniality, kindness, happiness, friendliness. It produces those things. You know, many of us may not have had too much of that in our life previously, right? But the love of God in our lives will produce these things. How many believes that? Friends, if this isn't true, let's just pack it up and go home. Right? Let's just, because we're no different than the world. But we are. If the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, you've got something that the world needs. You've got something that's beyond price. You couldn't put a price on it. So, some behavioral scientists put it this way. These emotions reflect a positive state of mind and a sense of goodwill towards others, right? We're talking about the softness of the spirit, tenderheartedness, geniality, gentleness, meekness, sweetness, kindness, so on and so forth. It produces a state of mind in us that is often the opposite of what our previous state of mind was characterized with, right? Put another way, you might have been as mean as a hornet, once upon a time. You might have been as distrustful as a badger. You know, we could go on and on and on, but that's the nature of fallen man, right? But your nature has changed. Your nature has changed. We're not playing church. We're not pretending church. We're not pasting these things on. We're not putting on a suit that is declaring these things, and then we take it off and hang it in the closet when we get home, and then we're somebody else during the week. No, this is who you are. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Present tense. Amen. So it produces a state of mind that is often the opposite of what our previous state of mind was characterized with. I know it has with me. How many knows what an antonym is? An antonym is a word which has the opposite meaning of another word, right? So it's the complete opposite. So what do we think would be an antonym to sweetness or happiness or kindness or contentment or geniality, so forth? Well, the opposite, thank you for asking, by the way. The opposite to these words is the word bitterness. That is the antonym. That is the opposite of it. How many knows what a synonym is? A synonym, you know, you might think of the word it's synonymous with, right? Well, you, of course, have to know what synonym meant to know what synonymous means, but it's two or more words of the same language that have the same or nearly the same meaning. That's what a synonym is, right? So it's a word that you could use to, you could use a, this other word to try to say the very same thing. You're just trying to pick another word to describe it, right? Okay, so what do you think the synonyms of the word bitterness might be? Synonyms of bitterness is hostility, grudge, hatred, animosity, tension, rancor, antagonism, enmity. None of those are pleasant words, are they? Webster defines bitterness as a sharp taste, a lack of sweetness. I like that one. Bitterness is a lack of sweetness. You know, James is the one that said, can you get sweet water and bitter water out of the same source? Asking that question, and of course it's a rhetorical question. No. A lack of sweetness. Resentment. Resentment is another word for bitterness. And resentment, Brother Bram said a resentment, he talks about it several times in the meeting. He said, I felt that all along this aisle, way back, and there's a group of people back there, or this one or that. I felt that, right? He said, when he was up in Canada, and the second pull of his ministry is in full force down here in the lower, you know, the continental U.S. And he goes up to, I'm not saying this to pick on the Canadians, I'm just telling you what happened, right? He was in some meetings up in Canada, and they had their arms folded, and they were just sitting back. He said, so what's the matter with you people, right? And he said, I can feel that resentment. He says, the Lord's not going to do anything, right? Yet the supernatural was there. Anything could have happened. Angels could have walked the aisles or were looking to walk the aisles, but they're sitting back there studying him like he's a bug under a glass, you know? And he said, well, he's not going to do anything with that spirit of resentment, right? And that's why we hammer on that and hammer on that and hammer on it, because it can derail a whole service. And I'm sure that none of us want to derail a service, of course. So I think we get the picture of what bitterness is, right? Bitterness in the human spirit, it's something that many of us once walked in. And many of us were controlled by or troubled by it, right? A lot of times it's a reaction to the way we've been treated or what we've went through in life, and it's because of hurts and that we've experienced, and it's a condition in the spirit of man. It's not a physical, but it's a spiritual thing, and the antidote for bitterness is divine love. Amen. Aren't you glad there's an antidote? Amen. Aren't you glad there's a cure? Amen. Because without it, it would just eat us right on up. Right. Brother Ram put it this way, he said, it'll canker you. Right? So it's something that each and every one of us is tested with, even after the new birth, along the journey, but it's also something that is and can be resisted and overcome by continuing in the love of Christ. He said, continue in my love. Continue ye in my love. So that's the guard, that's the antidote, that's the prescription. We're also told, Brother Bram says, sweeten your life with prayer. Right? So if bitterness is the antonym of sweetness, well, then somebody that's bitter is somebody that's not praying. Because it's not possible for you to have a prayer life and be like this with God and be bitter. It's just not possible. Now, friends, we don't say this. This isn't a pick on anybody kind of a... It's pointing out that you don't have to be that way. Right? But Satan will do everything he can to try to bring that poison, because he knows the effect that bitterness will have. And the church says, so Brother Brown says, sweeten your life with prayer. And, we should be able to admit tonight, I'll admit it tonight, that I've had to go to prayer because I knew my spirit wasn't right. And I've had to go to prayer and I've had to spend time with the Lord. In fact, Brother Brown told us in one place, he says, you know, when a brother has done you wrong, not you think he did, not you're imagining it, you know, because we can imagine all kinds of things, we can misunderstand or whatever, but he says, no, he's done you wrong, you know he has. He said, even in that case, he says, go ahead, take it before the Lord, pour it out, complain, whine, let the Lord, you know, just be honest, just open your heart. He says, but if you stay there long enough, the Lord will show you, he'll lift you up, and he'll show you what that other person is going through. And by the time that you get up from prayer, you'll be praying for that person. You'll feel sorry for that person instead of wanting to call fire down on them. Right? Amen. You sweeten your life with prayer. So we've heard Brother Branham also talk about how the nature of the dove is... not the same as the nature of a crow or a buzzard, you know, something that eats dead stuff, and talks about how it has a different nature, right? And we've heard him say that a dove has no gall, right? You heard him say that? So what he's referring to is what science also tells us. A writer of one of the concordances that I looked at said the following. Doves have no gall bladder, right? We have a gall bladder. Just about every other kind of an animal has a gall bladder. A thing which ornithologists, or ones that study birds, say is unique among birds. A gall bladder is an internal organ that secretes a bitter fluid called bile, which supposedly counteracts the poisons in the body. But God designed the dove without a gallbladder because he knew there would be no need for bitter fluid in his body since no poison would be there. That's powerful, isn't it? How thankful we should be that there is no bitterness involved in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There is nothing underhanded or deceptive about the experience. It's a wonderful spirit. It's a marvelous spirit. It's a cure for bitters. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So let's look for just a moment at what the Apostle Paul had to say about bitterness. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, if they're kind to you. Well, that's the New American Standard version of it, isn't it? Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Remember, we're going to go to the Lord's table here in just a little bit. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's really the root of it, isn't it? I mean, if we really, truly, if it really, really breaks on us that he's forgiven us, how are we going to hold something against someone else? You won't. Now, I've heard some teach, perhaps you have too, that if you've received the Holy Ghost, you can never do those things. And not to be different or to differ with somebody, but I do know that we can be sealed and still grieve the Spirit and have to repent. Right? Now, I'm not saying that these things are going to be resident in you and stay in you. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that you're going to go around as a bitter person if you're sealed by the Holy Ghost. But I believe that you can go through certain circumstances, you can be tempted, tested, and a little bit of bitterness can come in. But if you really are sealed with the Holy Ghost, it will grieve the Holy Ghost. And since you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll know it. And since it grieves the Holy Ghost, you'll do whatever it takes to make it right. You'll get that thing out of it. You won't be able to rest until you make it right. It's not a workup. It's not an imagination. It's not looking at some rule book and saying, well, this is what I had to do in this certain case. No, conviction will come. The Holy Spirit that has sealed you won't let you rest. The Holy Spirit, and I'm glad, aren't you? You'll do whatever you have to do to make it right. And the other half of the church said, come on, friends, this is not make-believe. This is what separates the true church from the pretend church. I don't want to be a pretend church. I'd rather admit that I got a problem and I need help than to be a hypocrite and act like... I grew up with that. I hate it. It stinks. It stinks in his nostrils. It stinks in your nostrils. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So, one of the people that tried to convince me that, you know, if you are sealed by the Holy Ghost, you'll never grieve the Holy Spirit. That person grieved the Holy Spirit in me time and time again. So, and I'm not saying that person wasn't sealed with the Holy Ghost. I'm saying, you know, if I follow that line of reasoning, it doesn't make sense, right? You can, how many knows that? Right? We try to bear that up. We try not to, you know, we don't answer wrath with wrath and so on and so forth, but it hurts, right? The Spirit in you can be grieved by things that other people do. And when we do grieve the Spirit, as I said, we know it, and we won't rest until we make it right. And it's not just for some people to know it, right? And if somebody brings it to your attention because you didn't know it and you get mad, well, you need the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost in you is correctable. You will receive that. You want it. But without the Holy Spirit, we can justify many things. And we can hold on to grudges. And we can nurse bitterness. And we can be unforgiving. And you know, one of the challenges that we all face is whatever we came out of. Right? Whatever we came out of, we came out of it. And, maybe it wasn't even our choice to be part of whatever we came out of. But it's got to come out of us. Right. And it will only come out of us if we desire to be free from it. There's power in this blood to break every fetter. It's not just for some people to overcome. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Paul says, follow peace with some men, with those that you like, with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So we're deceiving ourselves if we can't do that. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, friends, we've went through episode after episode over the last 30 years of bitterness coming into the church, right? And we learned the hard way that it won't get better with time. We learned the hard way that you can't just pray about it. We learned the hard way that you can't overlook it and say they'll grow out of it. We learned the hard way that it will poison the church. We learned the hard way it'll run the Spirit of God right out of the church. How many knows that's true? So we put that spirit on notice, right? If we see you, we're coming after you. Because there's nothing Christian about it. And the church says. So bitterness cannot just affect the person that harbors it, but it can also affect many others if it isn't rooted out. So let's take a look at what our... This is not by any means exhaustive, but let's just take a few statements that the Seventh Church Age Messenger had to say about it, and then we'll close. We'll change the order of the service. Those of you that were with us for the 6 months, 9 months, however long it was that we went through the Church Age series, you'll be very familiar with this because we went through this. It's actually spoken of in every church age. It's hit so many times that you'll just be sure not to miss it. And that's one of the reasons why we went through the church ages again. Paragraph 56, Smyrnian church age, where the very word Smyrna means bitter. He says, the only thing the matter, get all these little differences away from you. Little isms, little funny feelings around you for brethren. This isn't doctrine. It's how we treat one another. Funny feelings around you for brethren. And things like that. Shake it away. Oh, really? Just shake it away? Yeah. Shake it away. Don't let no root of bitterness ever get into your soul. Because if you do, it'll canker you. Right? Keep love. Let this love continue. Continue in my love. Keep love. I don't care how much people hate you. You love them anyhow. If you can't do that, you ain't sealed. If you can't do that, you ain't sealed. You think you are, but you're not. If you can't do that, you ain't sealed. You got a loose place yet. So come on back, and get that sealed up right good with the blood of Christ. It'll cleanse you from all roots of bitterness. Well, that old church that I came, I don't want to hear that. We all came out of something. That's bitterness. Some people can tell you more in detail what they hate about however they were treated than what they actually believe. There's a cure. Paragraph 85, he says, now this church had begun to spring up a root of bitterness. Why? It's always this. This is always at the root of it. This is why we hit on it, and we hit on it, and we hit on it. And this is why we get the same reactions every time. Right? Why? It was bitter against those who want to continue on with the Holy Ghost. If you want to continue on with the Holy Ghost, you don't have time for this. You don't want this. Right? You want to root it out. You want to be a million miles beyond it. Because the power and the life is here. So much could happen. If we could just not allow these things to take root. The love had faded away. Well, that love would have kept that bitterness out. The love had faded away. And they were trying to swap it to creeds and denominations, getting away from the Holy Ghost leadership. Think of that. The bitterness was in them. All right? Now, the first church, the bitterness started creeping in. The second church, a little more. And finally, it creeped right in because they were making a better church. So they thought. They thought that they were. And right here, they had something dignified. The great Roman people could come in. Why? They had a pope. They had great men, cardinals and so forth. There was no screaming and shouting and crying and speaking in tongues or none of that, because that's embarrassing and that would keep these rich, famous, intellectual people out. It'll also keep the Holy Spirit out. They had a pope. They had great men, cardinals and so forth. They dressed fine. They got away from all the noise and everything, and they had it very quiet. Friends, I don't like a funeral service. Even a funeral service shouldn't be quiet. Showed that they was dying. They were dying. And so they got dignified and they made a better body. The first thing up here, they had the whole thing in a big ecclesiastical denomination. The Roman Universal Church, the Roman Catholic Church in the Dark Age. Well then, they had dignitaries and they had class. Oh, it was much prettier than when they used to stand out on the street and have to walk in sheepskin as goatskins and destitute and sawed asunder and laughed at and made fun of. And as Paul said in Hebrews the 11th chapter, why this great big fine robe church with underskirts on and all this other stuff that they wear like that, sure, it looked dignified, Father, Reverend, Doctor, Father so-and-so, oh my, they could put on some real dog. Put on some real dog there, but you see, it was a hybrid thing, a hybrid. See, it didn't have any life in it. And they cannot go back no more, and that's the reason they never rise. The Lutheran revival never did rise up again. The Wesley revival never did rise up again. The Nazarene did not rise up again. Neither will the Pentecostal revival rise up again. Why? Because you killed it. You hybrid it with the world, with the Nicolaitan idea, not let the Holy Ghost have its way. Some guy with his thumb on the switch. That's right. You hybrid the church. It can't breed itself back again. And when you breed back, you get more Methodists, Baptists. Baptists breed back, they get more Baptists. Catholic breed back, they get more Catholic. Get the same thing that you're shelling off the ear. But let me tell you something. When the Holy Ghost comes back, it brings new birth and new life, conversion, baptism of the Spirit. It brings the church back to itself again, and it puts life back in it. And the church says, amen. Amen. Hybrid corn don't have any life in it. What life it is just sapped out. Now, when we get that in the dark age there, what little you have, hold on to it, he says. Well, they'd squeezed it all out now, but it won't reproduce itself again. But the body of Jesus Christ is not an organization. The body of Jesus Christ is a mystical body. It's a body in a kingdom that's a spiritual kingdom that's set up upon the earth by Jesus Christ being the king of this kingdom, the high priest to offer sacrifices for the wayfaring in the kingdom. He's a prophet, the word, that preaches the truth and brings the light of God in this kingdom. And he's both prophet, priest, and king in this kingdom. And how do we get in this kingdom? By denomination? By letter? By handshaking? By one spirit. We are all baptized into one body, which is the mystical body of Jesus Christ. And we're baptized in there, not by water, not by sprinkling, not by pouring, not by any kind of water baptism, but by one spirit. The Holy Spirit, we're baptized into one body, 1 Corinthians 12. Yes, we are baptized into this body by one Spirit, Holy Spirit. then we don't belong to anything but Christ. You are Christ's. It's a mystical kingdom of God that's set up, that we come into it by the Holy Spirit baptism. I love that, he says. And the church says, amen, amen. Again, from the very same message, not surprisingly, Smyrnian church age, paragraph 100, this church was called Smyrna because it was dying. Smyrna means bitterness. In other words, a root of bitterness was coming up and was choking it out. It was on its road out to myrrh. That's what they anoint bodies with, myrrh. See, it was myrrh, frankincense as an ointment, myrrh to anoint dead bodies after they've embalmed them and so forth, associated with death. The church was dying. Oh, can't you see today, friends, the great Pentecostal move that did have life a few years ago, you can't see that it's being anointed now with myrrh. See, the same ointment was in the church here, has come plumb down, and it's anointing this one down here, dying out because they're going back to ecclesiastical rags, and they're taking off their white robe, saints, the little people who stood out there, and a genuine Holy Spirit spoke with tongues and manifested God, and brother, they was as honest, all wool and a yard wide. They absolutely were genuine. You could trust them anywhere. Now you don't know what to trust and who to trust. Was he saying that in our day? There's something that's happened. Something's happened. What is it? They're being anointed with myrrh. Bitterness. Friends, we ought to identify that and chase it as far away as possible. Not tolerate it for a moment. It's an evil thing. Pergamian church age. He says, and now, above all things, keep praying one for another and never let the devil show any bitterness anywhere.
Right.
That's his job.
Right.
That's what he wants to do. See, keep your souls pure in this hour, for we are in the closing hours of history of this world. See, we're at the end, friends, without one shadow of doubt. We're not going into the rapture bitter.
Right?
Right? We're going rejoicing. We're overcomers. We're not hanging on by our fingernails. We're overcoming. Friends, if you're struggling with this, we care. If you're struggling with this, you can be set free. If you're struggling with this and you'll just humble yourself and admit it, we can get together and pray that thing off. Continue in my love. Again, Thyatiran church age. Well, didn't he mention it in Smyrnian church age? Wasn't that enough? Every church age, he's hitting on it. He says, oh, help us tonight, Lord. Give us sweetness of our spirits. Take all bitterness and indifference away from us, that we may be so melted with the Holy Spirit. Let the angel of God rule tonight. Lord, I don't know what to say to these people. Now I've got the histories and things wrote down of what you did, but it takes you to interpret the future. So I pray that you'll grant it through Jesus Christ's name. Amen. But he first had to go after the bitterness. First had to go after the indifference. Because it didn't matter what God wanted to do. If there's indifference, if there's resentment, if there's bitterness, you come in one way, you go out the same way. Again, Thyatira and church age, he says, now listen, friends. If there's anyone here among us that if anywhere down along life's journey that a little bitterness has come into your heart, he says, hear me. Must be important. Hear me. Get it out of there now. Get that. Don't never let nothing. Friends, I've experienced this. I went through a period of my life where I was bitter. I went through a period of in my life where I didn't trust anybody. I went through a period of my life where I could find fault. And the worst part is you're right. Now what? Okay, you found fault everywhere. You bitter, bitter person. How's that helped you out? It didn't help me out at all. It just helped me. It helped me stay bitter. But one brief moment in his presence, you experience that love and things begin to change. It's a greater power. How many knows that's true? Hallelujah. Hear me. Get it out of there now. Don't never let nothing. Well, I can't help it. Obviously, you can. Let go and let God. So he's pounding on it, pounding on it, pounding on it. A sister speaks in another tongue. Blank spot on the tape. A brother gives a message. And what went forth was exactly calling that very thing out. God was confirming it. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these messages. It stirs us, Lord, knowing that we have not shunned, but we have kept the faith. Oh, I pray, God, that the Spirit will continue to stay in the church. Keep us close to one another. Father, keep us with you and walk among us, Lord, in the last candlestick age that we're living in. Be our light. Shine forth upon us. This great times of darkness, Lord, we realize that that candlestick and that star speaks of darkness. And Lord, we're glad that we're children of light, that we're walking in the light of God. We're not earthbound with these things of the earth, but we're your children. And how we thank you for these things. We thank you for sending these messages as confirmation of your word. May you always be honored among us, Father. May you keep us from all bitterness of the earth. Keep us sanctified, that our lives will be pure and clean and holy before you. Let the blood of Jesus Christ do this for every one of us, Lord. Take from among us, if there be anything at all that's not right, take it from us, Lord. Friends, that shouldn't make anybody mad. We ought to all say, yeah, Lord, amen. Anything. Take it from us, Lord. This is the hour of searching times. But you know, a spirit of resentment will resent that. These meetings are meant for that purpose, to search our hearts, he says. You said them flames of fire of your eyes searched out, and you know the reins of the heart. You certainly do, Father, and speak that to us. And then telling us to keep ourselves ready, that the hour is arriving. Oh, how we thank you for this, Father. We will do that with all that's in us by your grace. Amen. Oh, don't you love him, he says. Now, if there would be a stranger among us, that's the way it was at the beginning when Jesus was here on the earth. He said somebody asked him about a marriage and divorce case or something, and he said it wasn't so from the beginning. Have to go back to the beginning. Then if the beginning was a Pentecostal church and he's the vine and we're the branches, every time that vine brings forth a church, it'll be a Pentecostal church, Pentecostal branch. Now, he's not talking about the organization. He's talking about a living church based on the word, as it was in the beginning. Same thing it was at the beginning each time. Now, you can graft other vines into it, and it'll bear its fruit. You can take an orange tree and put a lemon on it, and it'll bear lemons. Living off the orange life, put a grapefruit beside that, and it'll bear a grapefruit because it's a citrus fruit. But if it's the same thing, it'll produce Christ. Amen. Again, 10 virgins in the 144,000. He says, oh, not that constant burden for the lost, that sweetness. Don't never let anything rise up and put bitterness in your soul. No matter how bad anyone ever treats you or anything. No matter how bad anyone ever treats you or anything, don't never. Don't be guilty of letting anything anchor in your soul, because it'll grieve the Holy Spirit away from you. It certainly will. Again, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Love one another above everything. Above everything? Everything? Continue in my love. Love one another above everything. Love one another. No matter what the devil tries to say. Now, you're all one great big sweet group now. But remember my warning. See, Satan won't let it stay that way. No, sir. He'll shoot everything. If he has to bring somebody in to make his target, he'll bring some critic or some unbeliever in, sit him down. Don't go looking around. Sit him down and cause him to fellowship with you under the quietness and things. And then he'll shoot that guy. Don't get in your mind that it's only a guy, okay? Could be anybody. Shoot that guy with some kind of poison stuff, and he'll start through the church with it. Don't you take sides with it. Don't you have nothing to do with anything else. You stay right loving and sweet and kind to one another and pray for that man that he'll be saved to, or that woman, or whoever it is. Just pray for them and stick one with another. And stay with your pastor. What a novel concept. Stay with your pastor. See, he's the shepherd, and you give him respects. He'll lead you through, because he's ordained of God to do so. I say that boldly because I believe it. If I didn't believe it, what am I doing up here? I'm trusting in him just as much as you're trusting in him. And I'm being led by him just like you're being led by him. But this is how he does things. Now, do you remember that? And congregation says, amen. How long did they remember it? The enemy will come, he says. Not it might, maybe. It will. And when he does, just cling that much closer together. And the one that the devil is using for an enemy will either get out or come in and be one of you. That's all. Don't never clan among one another or talk and make yourself clannish. And friends, that's what we keep hammering on. We are not going to have churches within a church. Right? I don't care where you came from. I don't care what your background is. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care what you believe. We have one church.
Right.
It's one body.
Right.
And we will not clan.
Right.
We will not prefer.
Right.
We are one. I couldn't say, left hand, I'm mad at you, and I'm going to take you away because you're not the right hand. He's my left hand. I want him to stay there. Yeah, I'd like mine to stay too. Even the little tip of my finger. I've told you about when I cut off the little tip of my finger. And what did I do? That's this finger here. What did I do? I immediately picked it up and put it back on. I don't want to lose the tip of my finger. You say, well, it's just the tip of your finger. Yeah, it's mine. It's my finger. I want him to stay there. Of course, I had to go and get it stitched on after that, but I put it right back on. I didn't say, toss it in the garbage. No, I put it right back on. Then he sewed it on sideways. Well, at least I got it, right? I want him to stay there. Even a little tip of my finger. I want to stay right there. Every little part of my body, stay right there. Now, here's where the tension is, right? We don't want a spirit of bitterness in the body. We don't want anybody to leave. We don't want to drive anybody away. We won't drive anybody away. But we won't tolerate a spirit of bitterness either. Right? I want to stay right there. Every little part of my body, stay right there. And God wants us as a body of believers to stay right exactly one with one another. Right with one another. And now you've got tapes on that, he says. You got tapes on what we believe. You got tapes on discipline in the church, how we behave ourselves in the church of God, how we got to come here together and sit together in heavenly places. Don't stay home unless you feel like it, unless you're more spiritual than the rest of us. Don't stay home. You know, I've asked this question I don't know how many times, but let me just go ahead and ask it again. Why can't I stay home? Why can't I say, well, I just don't feel like, I'm just going to stream. Well, I guess I'd have to preach from home and listen to myself preach if I'm going to stream, right? You've got tapes on what we believe. You got tapes on discipline in the church, how we believe ourselves, how we behave ourselves in the church of God, how we've got to come here together, sit together in heavenly places. Don't stay home. If God is in your heart, if God is in your heart, you can't hardly wait for them doors to open out yonder to get in here to fellowship with your brothers. If you don't feel that way, then I tell you it's time that you got to pray it. Come on, friends. Let's be big boys, big girls. Right? Let's be mature. Because we're in the last days where the Bible exhorted us more as we see the day approaching to love one another with Christian love, divine love, to assemble ourselves together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and love one another. This will all men know that you are my disciples when you have love one for another. That's right. Stay right together, he says. Well, Brother Baker, the problem is we don't have enough activities. You know how many times I've heard that? We don't have enough get-togethers. The very ones, actually, the way this plays out, the very ones that complain about that, they won't be at the harvest party.
Right.
They won't be at the things that they won't be at the New Year's service.
Right. Right.
They won't be at the things that we set up.
Right.
These are just excuses.
Right. Right.
The worst part is they believe them.
Right.
They believe their own excuses. Well, my nephew would still be going to church if Brother Baker would have just had more youth activities. You know, basketball court or something. Listen, if the word can't keep you, nothing will. And we're here for one thing and one thing only. We're here for the word. If it's a lodge you want, there's an Elks Lodge right down the street on Pantano Road. Right? It's an old one. It's been around for a long time. I bet they got a lot of Elks heads up there. Plenty of beer and whatever else it is that you're looking for. If you're looking for a Kiwanis club, there's one of those. If you're looking for a Rotary club, there's one of those. A philatelist club, a numismatic club. I can go on and on and on. A sew and stitch club, a hunting club. There's all kinds of clubs. If that's what you want, there's all kinds of clubs. But we come to fellowship around the word. Amen? And we're not disappointed. He says, if the brother, you think he's a little wrong, or the sister says, well, say, Lord, don't let me never have the root of bitterness spring up. Because it'll affect him, and it'll take the Christ right out of my life. The poison acids of malice and jealousy and hatred, that will just take the Holy Spirit right away from you. It will run him from the tabernacle here. It'll kill the Spirit of God. Or drive it away from here. It'll hurt your pastor. Amen. It'll do everything. See, don't you do that. You just wax that much closer together. Take the buckle, as the brother testified, a minister here the other night, about having a buckle, seeing it in a vision. That buckles on the whole armor of God. Just pull her on, tighten it up, move right up close to one another, love one another anyhow, talk nice about one another, say nice things about one another, then God will bless you. You know, there's lots of different churches, lots of different backgrounds. We all come from different backgrounds. Nothing wrong with that. We all have. There's no good and bad. We've all come from. But when we come to hear the word, we're trying to be changed by the word. We're not trying to be whatever you used to be. Right? There are some churches where you're actually rewarded for going and tattling to the pastor. Right? That's a gossip spirit. And it has no place here. If you love your brother or your sister, you won't do that. If you care about them, you'll pray for them.
Amen.
Come on, friends. Well, this is making me so mad. Well, get born again and you won't be mad anymore.
Right.
You're saying I'm not born again? The Spirit of Christ will never do that.
Right.
Brother Bram said, bride never persecutes bride. Ever. I don't persecute my wife. Why would I? Why would I treat her like a dog and say, yeah, we're happily married, and then treat her like a dog? There's something wrong with me if I'm doing that. Help us, Lord. He says, you just wax that much closer together. Take the buckle, as the brother testifies, the minister here the other night, having the buckle, seeing it in vision. Buckle on the whole armor of God. Just pull her on, tighten up, move right up close to one another. Love one another anyhow. Talk nice about one another. Say nice things about one another. And then God will bless you. Church order. Brother Bram says, this last one. He says, you don't want to get like Oswald. See? If you can't disagree with a man in things and then shake his hand and still have the same feelings towards him, well, then there's something wrong with you. If I can't disagree with a man, he says, bitterly from one side to the other, bitterly from one side to the other, and still think as much of him as Christ would, well, then there's something wrong with my spirit. I haven't the Spirit of Christ. If he says, well, Brother Branham, I believe that your teaching is this and that. All right, brother, let's come together to reason, you and I. We'll take it ourselves. We'll go over here in the room to ourselves. We'll reason it out. And he just cuts me to pieces, and I have to say things back to him. If in my heart I can't feel the same about him, that he's still my brother, and I'm still trying to help him, well, then I'll never help him. And there's no way for me to help him if I don't love him. What's the use of going over there? Tell him, the first place, first, brother, I don't love you. And then let me get that out of my heart right here before we go in there. Because I can't help you until I love you. That's just, you know, meat and potatoes kind of preaching. But we're coming to that table. Right? And I don't know how... First of all, let me just say it this way. There's no way that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, have aught in your heart against a brother or sister here tonight, and come to that table.
Right.
You can't do it.
Right.
The Spirit of Christ in you will convict you, and you will want to make that right. And if you aren't filled with the Spirit, you can get filled with the Spirit, because all of us were not filled with the Spirit at one time. But we had to humble ourselves. We had to recognize, you know what, without you, God, I can't live this life.
Amen.
I can't do it. I need something greater. I don't want to be religious. I don't want to be famous in front of other people. I want to be right. And the only way I can be right is if you come and change my heart. If you come and live down inside of me. We all come the same way, don't we? There's no easy way to say it. We all come the same way. Continue in my love, he says. Let's stand. Hallelujah. You love him? You love the person behind you? I know you love the one next to you. You love the one behind? How about the one across the room from you? Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Love you, Brother Joe. Brother Alvaro, where are you at? Love you. Oh, there you are. Sister Jennifer, love you. Brother Elam, love you. Love you, brother. Love you, sister. I love you all. The easiest thing to do would be for me to just get up and, oh, aren't you awesome? And just give everybody a pat on the back and, you know, oh, we're the church and everybody else is going to miss it but us. But man, we're it. That's not love. That's deceit. That's a trap. Right? But love tells you what you need to hear. But there's sovereign grace that'll make a way for you to walk in whatever it is that you're hearing, right? That's the wonderful thing about it. God's not, you know, Brother Branham made this statement. He said, I used to think that God the Father was mad at me all the time and Jesus was, you know, wanted to help me. There's only one God and he doesn't want to destroy you. For God so loved, that he gave. That love provided sovereign grace. Because none of us would make it without that love. None of us. Especially me. Especially me. Oh, Brother Baker, you're trying to make too much of yourself. I'm nothing. He's everything. I tried it. I tried to do it. I can't do it. But he can and he does and he will. And I'm going to brag about him every day of my life, and I'm going to brag about him on the other side. Hallelujah. He's the way maker. How many can say amen to that? Hallelujah. You love him tonight? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we prepare to change the order of the service here tonight, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, of our mistakes, our failures, Lord, anything that we haven't confessed. Lord, we stand before you and we ask for your forgiveness, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you give us the grace to, Lord, if there's a little tug on our heart, it doesn't matter what it is. If there's a little tug, if there's a question mark, if there's a doubt, and we wonder, well, should I make that right? Do I need to make that right? Lord, may we err on the side of not taking any chances, but learning to lean on you, Lord, learning to hear your voice, your still small voice. And Lord, may we just, we know sometimes it seems like it's just going to take the hide off of us. Sometimes it's, many times, Lord, we've had these experiences through life where we thought, well, I just killed me to have to admit that or say that. And it's going to be so hard and it's going to be a blow up. But then we find out that that was all just a bluff of the enemy. We find out that it was so much smaller than we ever imagined, and it went in so much more of a positive direction than we ever imagined. We realize that was just a bluff of the enemy to try to, and we think, why didn't I just deal with that sooner? I wish I would have. My, what a little thing that was now, looking back, but I'm thankful that I'm not carrying that baggage around any longer. I'm thankful that I can get up in the morning and it's a new day, and I can face each day and I don't have to look backwards, and I don't have to carry bags, a backpack on my back of the weight of these things, but I can unburden myself. And Lord, that you're bringing these things to whatever it might be. Father, this might not be for a single person in the building. I don't know. We're trusting in you. It's your word. We're trusting in you, Lord, and your leadership, your guidance. But Father, we pray that for whoever that it is for, Lord, that they recognize that this is not a beating. They recognize that this is not a downing. It's not a it's not condemnation, but it's liberty. It's an opportunity to unburden. It's an opportunity to be set free. It's an opportunity to come up higher. And Lord, if there's conviction that's coming from these things, Father, you'll make a way for us to come up higher. You'll make a way, Lord, for us to overcome. You'll make a way for us to be set free. And we're just so thankful for that tonight, Lord. It would be so hopeless if all these things, if we could relate to these things and say, but yeah, but I can't change, or there's nothing I can do about it, or it's the way I was born, or it's the way I was raised, or it's what I went through, or it was this, or it was that, or it's the other. But Lord, you're the way maker. Amen. And Lord, you can set anyone free. You came to set the captive free, and he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So we're so thankful, Lord, that this isn't just for some people, and it won't just work for some people, but Lord, whoever will surrender, for God so loved that he gave. Lord, you told us, continue ye in my love. Father, that is our desire. You said, I have a commandment for you that you love one another. And hereby will they know that you are my disciples because of the love that you have one for another. Father, as we said, this may just be a sharpening. This may just be a reminder. It may be something that we're going to go share with somebody else or testify. It may be something that we've got a couple of hundred that listen in during the week. Maybe for somebody that's listening in. We don't know, Lord, but we're trusting in you. We're putting it into your hands. And Father, I'll just say myself, Father, I want to be tuned up and I want to stay tuned up. So Lord, if there's anything, we're not just throwing a pitchfork out here. It's not pitchfork religion. It's not something that everybody else has to live except for us. No, Lord, if there's any fine-tuning that we need, any tune-up that we need, Father, we're trusting in you to bring it to our remembrance, for you to bring it to our conscience, for your Spirit to deal with our hearts, Lord. And Father, we'll be quick to make things right. It's our desire. It's our, Lord, we want to serve you. We want to please you. We want this kind of a life. We truly want this kind of a life to be lived out amongst us and through us and in us. And we want others not to build us up, not to draw attention to ourselves, but we want others to be drawn to this life, to be comfortable around this life, so that they can come to know you themselves and they can receive this very same life. And so they can, your love can be shed abroad in their hearts as well, so they can be set free, so they can have life and that more, a more fuller, complete life, Lord. Your presence and your love in their lives. Father, we're a needy people, and Lord, many of us have been hurt in ways that others may never know of. But Lord, you do heal. And Lord, you heal completely. And Lord, we can have some hurts and cuts in our lives that it just seems like we could never get over. We could never get to the place where we could trust again, or get to the place where we could love again, where we could risk opening ourselves up. But Lord, you heal, and you heal completely. And the wonderful thing is, Lord, that you fill us so full with your love that, Lord, it's just overflowing. We're not desperate about it. We're not miserly with it. We're not thinking, well, I only have a little bit of this love and I can't spare it. But no, it's pouring out. And Lord, it's a artesian well that's springing up from within side of us, Lord. And it satisfies us, but it also satisfies the weary traveler. Lord, it satisfies the thirsty soul, the seeking soul. Father, as we approach your table here tonight, forgive us, Lord. Father, we pray one for another. We commit ourselves into your hands, Lord. And whatever it takes, that's what we're willing to do, Lord. Father, we pray that you would bless the bread, Lord, that's in the hands that prepared it, Lord, that's been prepared for your service here tonight, Lord, that's symbolic of your body that was given for us. And we ask that you'd bless the wine, Lord, that's symbolic of the life that was in the blood that flowed through your veins. It's not the blood, but it's the life that was in the blood in type that we receive, Lord, from you. May you bless that, Lord, to the nourishment of our bodies, the goodness of our bodies, as well as the bread, to the goodness of our bodies. And Father, may this, as we come together for the Lord's Supper, as we come together, Lord, in obedience to your word, we do this in remembrance of you. We do this in obedience to you. Lord, we ask that your blessings would now be upon each and every one. And now, Lord, as we just take a few moments for a silent time of prayer, Lord, as we ministers and other leaders here in the body, Lord, as we pray for the body, Father, and as the body prays for the leadership, Lord, we just give this time to you, and We just pray that you'd give us the right words, Lord, that you'd move upon our hearts. Commit one another into your hands tonight. And Lord, it is our desire that you would bless each and every one, Lord. That each and every one would leave, Lord, with your love shed abroad in their hearts, Lord. Lord, that we would each one continue in your love, and that others would be able to see that that true love is shed abroad in our hearts, not some made-up thing, not some kind of a obligation, not some kind of a dress-up thing, but genuine love, Lord. And we know that we have to be willing to let go of the other things that the enemy would like us to harbor, because he knows that it'll drive your spirit out. But we have no part in him. He has no part in us, Lord. We resist that tactics of our enemy here tonight, Lord, and we surrender to you. May your love just flow through the body, Lord. May it be shed abroad in our hearts as we commit one another into your hands in the lovely name above all names, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Continue ye in my love, he says. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I love him, love him, because he first loved me and purchased my salvation. On Calvary's tree. Yes, I love him. I love him. Salvation on Calvary's tree. Jesus, 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 there's just something about
I want to thank you.